voices. Unedited, uncut, unfiltered, unflappable. Bringing you glory to the green. Representing One Nation. Mean Green Nation. It's time for the Mean Green Nation podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mean Green Nation podcast. Coming to you live and also on delay. Live because we're doing it live on the internet on a Saturday morning at 9:06 in the a.m. and delayed because, well, you know, most likely you're listening to this after the fact. We have the pleasure of guiding you through, I guess, the fun pregame activities today. Where our favorite little football team is playing down in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And they are scheduled to take the field against Southern Miss University. The alma mater of one Brett Favre. Mr. Greg Odecker is here with me, as always. Mr. Greg, how you doing today?
Good morning. I'm doing wonderful this morning. It's another beautiful Saturday morning up here in North Texas. It's a nice, cool morning in the 50s for us. So really feels like football weather outside.
That's good. That's good. In case any of you are in Hattiesburg, I have a friend that goes there. He's from Mississippi. A guy that's on the other podcast that I do, Deranged Penguin Podcast. And I asked him on last week's show to just give me a list of places that anyone should go, should they be in Hattiesburg. I mean, they're in a conference, right? So maybe you're going to make that trip. Maybe not next year, obviously, because we're probably going to play that in Denton. But maybe the following year. Maybe you're there this year. But so here's a list of places. This is how he gave them to me. I don't know. He says they're all good, you know. Mugshots, Southern Prohibition's new brewery, Keg and Barrel. The Keg and Barrel is like Oak Street Draft House, he says. And, you know, this guy lived in Denton for a number of years. C'est la vie, the Mahogany Bar, and TJ's Records and Cafe, among others. Those are the ones that he listed and gave a little tidbit about enthusiastically. So there you go. Go and do, oh listener.
I think Mugshots is pretty good. I remember eating at a Mugshots when I lived in Biloxi, Mississippi for a long time. And it was like a burger place. They did all kinds of different burgers. They had like a peanut butter burger and all kinds of stuff.
Like peanut butter burger in that? Just like peanut butter and jelly sandwich with a burger in it?
No idea. I never ate it.
You can't reference it on the podcast if you never ate it.
I could say that they've had it.
Well, I mean, they had it, but you didn't try it.
Okay. I was just trying to give a reference that they do some crazy stuff with the burgers, and they're pretty good. Ate there a lot, but I never ate that specific burger. I just remember it being on the menu.
Okay. All right. Well, so there you go. There's our Hattiesburg talk, ladies and gentlemen. Let's move on to the news at hand. We're playing today. The mood around the program and the team is one of... What would you say, like pre-crisis mode? Angst? I mean, how would you describe the mood?
I would describe the mood with the players as, you know, it's them versus the world. You know, there's some adversity, but I don't think the team is really torn up on the inside. I don't think they've shown that frustration hasn't boiled out yet. They know that they're 0-3. They've played, you know, Iowa, Rice, tough games. You know, they really wet the bed against SMU, but the other two, those were tough games to win regardless, or we thought they were. Now you're getting to Southern Mississippi, you know, equal talent probably on the field, and so I think within the program itself there's not a crisis mode yet, even though that they had the team meeting, so they're close, but they're not there yet. Now in the fan world, it's been full-on crisis mode ever since, really, SMU.
Yeah.
I mean, the morale has just plummeted. There's no faith in the, you know, basketball sucks. The athletic director, we don't know what he's doing. He's not even speaking publicly or giving any support to Dan McCartney or, you know, we haven't heard from him. And then, you know, the football program obviously is not where it should be. And year five of Dan McCartney. So I think the fans, they're ready for something positive to happen. And if it doesn't happen this week, I mean, I don't know if anybody's going to show up to the homecoming.
Yeah, you know, and just a quick like comment on that. I think that's expected that like the team is not as frazzled and the fans are freaking out. And part of that is because we can't do anything. Like, you and I can't go on the field and do anything. We can't block. We can't coach. We can't do anything. We're not part of the execution part of the program. But we're on the periphery of the actual doings going on there. So, you know, that inability to make anything happen is frustrating and it gets everybody antsy, right? All this way on the message board, everybody's freaking out. Like, who should we fire? Who should we fire first? Let's make a list. I think that's the freak out before the freak out in the field. That 0-3 start, man, it's not good, especially this season. We knew it was going to be tough. We need any win that we could get because it was always going to look bad. We mentioned this before in the previews. People just discussed it, that best case scenario was always something like 5 wins. It's like, you know, everything bounced our way. You know, it was going to be a great season. Quarterback plays amazing. And, you know, we already lost one of those winnable kind of games. Okay, anyway, let's focus on the game in front of us. Southern Miss, Golden Eagles. They recently changed their logo because it looked too much like Iowa, right? So we're basically kind of facing a similar-looking team. All-time series 1-1 between the two. What, in Hattiesburg? Well, wait, no. Do I have that right? Am I looking at these notes wrong?
Get your shit together.
Yeah. Well, like, these notes are the same. It says 1-1. That doesn't make any sense. Oh, that's Dan McCartney's record. I'm sorry. Look at these notes. Usually pretty good. Long story short, we played them before. We whooped them. They played us last season. Even though Carlos Harris had a crazy game, it was 193 receiving yards. That was Mini Mac's best game prior to the one he had against Bryce. What do you expect?
Every time I drop a nugget on our podcast from now on, I'm going to call it a McNugget. So let me drop this McNugget on y'all this morning. Dan McCartney, he's 3-1 at North Texas in his second conference game.
What?
Sin. The first time he lost was last year. And that, I think that was a Southern Miss game. So,
yeah.
But still, he's, you know, and some of those have been road games too. So, I mean, his teams generally play pretty good in that second conference game. So, Andrew McNulty, he's normally inconsistent, has one bad game, then comes along and plays a average game by our standards, but a solid game by Dan McCartney standards. And so I expect him to play pretty well today, and I think it might be closer than people think. I think Southern Miss is that program that's kind of like, they're on the verge of being good, but they haven't done anything yet. I mean, they haven't. They need to prove that they can win a game. Like, they should beat us. Like, they should beat us, but they have to prove that they can do it. That's where I think that they're at right now.
Yeah. And this, of course, after, I don't know, basically falling all to hell there for a while. They were such a great program for such a long time. Did they beat Houston in like 2011 or something like 2011, 2012, I forget when it was. 11. And then they just went like over for like a year and a half. It was ridiculous. They just felt that, you know, it was awful. They had left.
They had Larry Fedora there, who was a great coach, and he took the North Carolina job. Then they brought in Ellis Johnson. I can't remember where exactly he was from, but he just terrible. I mean, he basically Todd Dodge for us, but maybe even worse. Just completely destroyed their program, and ever since then it's been a challenge for Todd Monken, who was offensive coordinator at Oklahoma State, to kind of rebuild what he tore down. And so he brought in a bunch of freshmen and he played them early on in the program, and now they're starting to see the rewards, because we saw Nick Mullins when he was a freshman. And he played well in that game, even though he had some turnovers. You could still see that he was going to be good over time. And now he's really grown up, and he's played really well this year.
Wait. Are you saying that, you know, if you play a guy that's young and maybe turns the ball over, but has talent, that they can grow into it and learn from that? I don't know. I don't know if I buy that, man.
It's a bold strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, was it Southern Miss did that, and then Middle Tennessee did that same year in 2013. Both, they rolled out a couple freshman guys and basically said, all right, we're playing for the future here. Let's see what these kids can do. They'll take these bumps and bruises, take these knocks, and then, you know, a couple years from now, it'll really pay off. So, I think you gave the North Texas pass offense the edge against Southern Miss pass defense. I found that interesting. Yes, explain your reasoning there. Because McNulty oscillates between, you know, bad and good. And you're like, oh, this is good. He's due. It's going to come up red soon. Is that what you really?
Yeah, he is. He's due. That was one rational part of it. And the Southern Miss pass defense is really not that great anyways. They gave up a ton of passing yards, I think, to Mississippi State. And they struggled in their pass defense against Nebraska is okay at passing, but Tommy Armstrong is not necessarily a guy that I would consider a passer. I mean, they've given up 237 passing to Mississippi State. They've given them 310 to Texas State, and they've given up 368 to Nebraska. So they're not great in the passing defense. I mean, the quarterback ratings that they've given up have been a lot. A lot of the big plays that the teams make against them have been in the passing game. So I do think that they're susceptible to our pass offense, and I do think McNulty will be able to hit some passes. He had his best game against them last year. He's going to target Carlos Harris a lot tonight. So I think that, yeah, I think we do have the edge against their pass defense.
I think if we pass well against them, and, you know, like I said, that's a reasonable assumption to make, that we'll be able to move the ball a little bit. It's because our run offense will be good. Maybe we can get him on some play action. But I haven't really seen us do any quality play action, look down the field, hit a home run kind of thing. That Carlos Harris 93-yard bomb, he just stepped up, right? McNulty didn't do any play action there. He stepped up and just tossed it down the field. And then even on that 33-yard pass to Carlos Harris against Rice. And outside of those two, we haven't really looked deep very much. Just, you know, tried some, like, streaks down on the outside, and we missed them. So I really think because the run game was at 183 yards against Iowa, even though Iowa's was kind of just, they were just playing, was it standard defense? Because, you know, they had that game well in hand for a long time. We ran well against a really good Iowa defense, right? You mentioned they averaged something like 50 yards against, and then we put 183 yards against them. That's where I could see us doing good. You run, play action, get something over the top. That's what I'd like to see.
Yeah, I agree. But again, we really haven't taken a ton of shots down the field. And you'd like to see more of that. But again, I don't know who's it going to come from. I like that, you know, when Carlos Harris, he can get open down the field. But I don't want to be running fade routes and nine routes with necessarily Carlos Harris. Why don't you try Rutherford? I mean, he's a big guy at 6'5". If McNulty is off a little bit, shouldn't he be able to go get it? Or how about you get some isolation on Marcus Smith or Chris Loving, who really stepped up this season? You know, I'd like to see them maybe one-on-one with a linebacker down the field. I like the idea of the wheel routes with Jeffrey Wilson getting down the field. We took the shot with him. He just had to make the catch. So I think there's some things schematically that we could do to take shots down the field that we're not really doing now. We're not taking advantage of the players that we have.
Yeah. We did definitely miss some things. Everybody's excited about Jeffrey Wilson. I think reasonably so. But I think everybody's kind of forgetting that we still have Anton Jimerson. He's been probably one of our biggest playmakers this season. I mean, in the limited number of offense plays we made, he just fumbles the ball. I mean, I like this combo. I just don't know if we can... Well, if we have the leadership, let's call it that, to accurately to use them the way they need to be used. getting points on the field, on the board, instead of just yards. We really need to score some more points, guys. That's really it. We need to score more points, a lot more points. I need to see that. I don't know if we can do that against Southern Miss, though. We are like practically the worst offense in the nation. Is that official now? Or are we at somewhere like in the hundreds? Our ranking
you
scoring
mean
offense.
As
a team. Yeah,
our scoring offense, 108.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I guess I'm just kind of getting frustrated talking about all these things. I'm thinking about it. I've been thinking about this all week. How can we move the ball? Give it to Jeffrey Wilson. I like that. He's making plays. Play action. Get it Carlos Harris. That sounds good. I mean, but then, seriously, whatever happens, we're just like dinking and dunking down the field. We have playmakers. I was like, you know, I was thinking about that old Vito argument where he always just says, well, I don't know if North Texas has the playmakers that they need to. I mean, we have dudes that can break tackles and can turn on the Jets and get to the end zone. We have that. Antoine Jimerson can do that. He has a career of highlights here at North Texas where he does that. Carlos Harris can score touchdowns. We have dudes that can do it. We just need to do that and not turn the ball over and also play some defense. Now the defense is really concerning me after that Iowa debacle. Will they be better, Mr. Go Decker? That defense.
Maybe. Here's the problem, and it goes back to the offense too, that our offense that we're running is an up-tempo offense. So we're asking them to score a lot of points to help the defense out. But they're not scoring a lot of points, so the defense isn't getting helped out, and they're getting put in a bad situation. So you can do either one of two things. You can either fix something with the offense and score a bunch of points so that you help your defense out, so that takes a little pressure off them, or you can sit on the ball and basically keep your defense off the field, which is something that Dan McCartney typically has done every year since he's been here. Yeah. So I think if I was on the offensive staff, I'd be really starting to think about, is it time to scrap the up-tempo, or, you know, do we need to tweak something on the offensive side to help the defense out a little bit and, you know, to help us be a little bit more efficient?
Yeah, and that's kind of my problem about playing me too football, and that's kind of what we're doing. We're like, we want to do tempo too. I mean, okay, but you have to have the whole philosophy, the entire thing. Your program needs to be built from the bottom up, from the guys you recruit to the guys that you hire to coach to, you know, your practice habits, and then, you know, finally play call on the field. All those things need to be in place to put this philosophy out there. You know, you need to have guys that could play, you know, bend but don't break defense, guys that have a lot of stamina, and you're probably not going to be the biggest guys out there. Kind of like Oregon did. Oregon built their whole program for speed all the way through, from their practice habits to their recruiting to their training, everything. So you can't just go, let's just speed up. Let's just go faster. And that's kind of my problem with just like changing the philosophy midway. Like, we're going to go with more tempo this year. Okay. You know, and what about on the defense? What are they going to do?
Suffer.
Yeah, they're going to suffer. And I mean, I don't know. We're not privy to the coaching conversations where they were, you know, outlining this whole thing. I'm assuming that they said, well, all right, well, our defense is going to be tired. What are we going to do? You know, this, that, and the other. But it just doesn't seem like it.
I don't think they match up right now.
Yeah,
I don't think they had that conversation. I think their conversation was, or their idea was, we're going to play a lot of players, because we talked about this earlier in the year that the defense didn't really have a lot of superstars, but we thought that they had a lot of guys with equal talent that could play. So their idea was, we're just going to run a lot of different guys out there to help offset the speed that our offense is running at. You know, if they get on the field more, you know, we just got to play more players. I think that was the idea.
No.
But it's unfortunate that the offense can't score touchdowns. And so it doesn't matter. I mean, defense can only – I mean, they really can't stop anybody right now. I mean, they face some good quarterbacks or good different types of offenses. So it's tough to, you know, say that. But, again, they're facing another good offense – today. Southern Miss ranks 40th in the country in scoring offense. So our offense has to score points or our defense has to stop them. I mean, we get into this thing where to win the way that Coach McCartney wants to win, we got to play perfect. The offense has got to complement the defense. The defense got to complement the offense. And the special teams has to be special. And I think you're asking a little bit too much for the guys that you have right now.
Yeah, I mean, whenever you're – it reminds me of, like, rec league. Like, when I started to get into to play soccer, and we had a terrible team, a bunch of people that never played soccer before, right? And we're like, okay, if everybody plays perfectly, then we might have a chance to tie, you know? And I feel like it's exactly what's going on right here. Is that we're saying that. And it's frustrating because I think we have individual pieces that can win games for you. You know what I mean? Like, well, all these things being equal, what guy's just going to be – just make a play? Just which guy's going to beat, you know, the guy in front of him? Well, we have a couple of those dudes. We got a Carlos Harris. We got a Jamerson. We got a Wilson. We got dudes that you can get the ball in their hands and they can make a play that can win the game for you. They can't. They haven't necessarily done it all the time. I mean, Carlos Harris is one of my favorite players. I mean, but he did drop the touchdown pass in the end zone, right? So that kind of thing, you know, like we need to play perfectly. We were talking about that last week in the recap show that it wasn't the greatest throw by McNulty, but it was there. I mean, and that's kind of all you can ask for the most part. Hey, I know that the play calls for a spiral into his numbers, you know, in stride, but hey, if you get it to him in his general vicinity and he hits his hands or he can make a play on it, then he needs to make the play, you know, that's mostly what she asked for. So, yeah, I totally agree. I feel frustrated by that, and I don't see it getting any better. And that's because the evidence doesn't, you know, show that it will get very much better. We're in the hundreds in scoring offense, scoring defense. We're 74th in rushing offense. But, you know, rushing defense or defensive line got – they got slaughtered by Iowa. That was bad, dude. I said, you're doing what? Your positive Tuesday?
Yeah.
And then, so then I was like, I was just going through tweets and I saw that I guess Iowa, somebody retweeted that just the line, just destroying our line. I mean, that was a great run. If you like football, you're like, man, look at them. Everybody's blocking their man, shoving the guy 2-3 yards back. If you're a running back, that's like that's what you dream about, those kind of giant holes there. You're like, well, there's like 3 holes here I could run through if I wanted to, but there's this, you know, this boulevard in front of me. So it was great, you know? You make.
I think Iowa has those shirts that say Farmstrong on them, and that was Farmstrong right there. I mean, that sure was just some country. That was just some country boys saying, get on my level, son. I mean, they were eating.
They were. Yeah, and they devoured our defensive line. It was, I mean, like I said, it was pretty incredible. It's at the point, it's like when you're playing NCAA, you know, like I said before. And then I remember like 1 year, like North Texas' defense was pretty terrible on the game. I was like, man, this is like real life. This is too realistic. I don't want to see this. But like the whole thing, like the line knocked over every one of the defensive line, like they all got pancake blocked, which is unrealistic. You know, they all just fell back. They were all laying down, and I was like, "What the hell? What am I supposed to do right here, guys? What the hell?" It reminded me of that, and I didn't like being reminded of that. So, is Southern Miss going to be able to do that to us today? That's kind of my question. I know you kind of looked over the numbers. Did you get a chance to look at any of their game film? I know there's no videos this week.
No, and that goes back to, you know, what happened within our family and tough week, you know. It wasn't necessarily our dog, my sister's dog. His name was Max, little Boston Terrier. You know, he had a tumor 2/3 the size of his stomach and it ruptured his spleen, and they just found the tumor basically that night, and so my sister was broken up, and basically we don't have any grandchildren in the family yet, and he was like the child of the family, and he was a little lover, and so it was tough on our family, so I didn't really feel like watching a ton of film. I watched some, but you know, I wanted the breakdown to just be very simple, and I think a lot of people actually liked it, you know, this week.
No, I agree.
getting back to your question about Southern Miss, their offensive line last year was struggling coming into the game against us. They were only averaging like 90-something yards a game rushing, and they ran for 200 against our defense. And this year, their rushing offense, it's 95, but I do like their backs. I do like Ito Smith and Jalen Richard. Smith ran for 95 against us last year. Again, it goes back to the scheme that they run, the zone blocking scheme. For some reason, our defensive line struggles with that. Iowa did it to us last week, and I think Southern Miss is going to be able to run when they want to run this week. I don't think they're going to run a ton. There may be a few plays where we get a stop in the backfield like Iowa. I don't think they're going to run on us like Iowa, but they're still going to find success. They're still going to find 5 yards a carry, you know, and they're going to be, you know, good at what they do. So when they need to run, they're going to be able to run.
Yeah, that's concerning. That was a trend with us last season, all season. I think UTSA came in averaging something like 3.5 yards a carry, something stupid, and they exploded something like 6 yards a carry against us. Like, we are everybody's elixir for the run game, I guess. So, I don't really have a whole lot of enthusiasm today. I'm even more despondent than I was last week against going into the Iowa game. But even that one, I kind of knew we were like such dogs, such underdogs, that I felt like, maybe something can happen. Maybe they take their foot off the gas or something like that. I don't know. Who knows, right? We're going to Iowa. Everybody's having fun, remembering good old times. Maybe they take it easy. Maybe Kirk Ferentz takes it easy. This week, I don't know. I don't like looking at the Southern Miss line. I'm like, wow, we're 16 point underdogs to a team that just 2 years ago we destroyed 55-14 or something like that.
13.
13. There you go.
Don't give them that extra point. They didn't earn it.
I know college football changes, right? Every year you get a whole new set of people, pretty much, right? 24 people leave, thereabouts. 25 people come in, right? But still, man, it's just crazy to see such a drastic change. And then, you know, everybody's feeling negative, like on the message boards or on Twitter, like, oh, we got fired this guy. It's awful. Say more North Texas. I think it's starting to affect me and my positivity, you know, my outlook. I got a wedding to go to today, and I'm going to be dour there. Like, Adam, are you not happy for the couple? Like, North Texas is getting smashed right now.
Well, what time is the wedding at?
The wedding's like 3-ish. 3. I think it's 5. I should check that. Yeah, we don't get started till like, what, 7?
6.
6. 6 is it 6 our time?
6. Yeah. I think it'll be a standard definition, so.
Oh, great. Well, yeah. I mean, watching us get destroyed in high def wasn't really exciting, you know? Didn't really make it better. It's like, wow, I could really see us get shoved up the line of scrimmage.
The helmets, though, they look nice, right?
Yeah. I like the helmets. Man, nobody on the message board understood that tongue-in-cheek SB Nation thing about our uniforms. I got it. Like, I understood they were trying to be funny. I didn't think they were very funny. It was like, well, I see what they're trying to do. So I retweeted it. But a lot of people were like, what? Somebody put them into place. I was like, wow, we are too serious right now. We're, like, very sensitive because we're losing.
We have enough people that make fun of us for where our program is. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, again, that's where people are right now. You know, stop making fun of me. I've had enough. Enough is enough. Okay? You know, I don't need some jackass from Iowa who writes like a preschooler to tell me that my uniforms look bad. I know they look bad. I don't care. So, you know, use your words somewhere else, sir.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit though of Ryan Renfro's tweet, right?
Yeah.
Here's a thing to North Texas faithful. I feel like we don't really know what big boy college football is sometimes, and you get this with programs like ours that have been losing for a long time and kind of afterthoughts. Like, we were just really desperate for any attention. We're like, please, media, cover us, right? And we don't really know what it's like when media starts covering you in earnest, that people have hot takes, right? People start calling for your head coach to be fired after a game or two, right? Look at down the road, Texas A&M, to a lesser extent, like Texas Tech or something like that, right? But, you know, they get all that. They have a bad game. Should he be fired? You know, should the quarterback be replaced? That's the kind of scrutiny there that happens there at bigger programs, more, I would say, more consistently successful programs. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like we get a little bit of that in our third and fourth years of losing. I'm like, wow, what is going on here? But, you know,
I tweeted this out too. You know, we're not in ESPN's bottom 10 yet, but we're on the waiting list. But again, you know, we thought Dan McCartney had fixed that problem. Like, you know, he had worked hard and we aren't going to be on that list anymore. And then CBS Sports, they put out their bottom 25 and sitting at number two is North Texas. And they were like, oh, we need to watch North Texas this year. They may take the title for worst team in the country. What the hell? Yeah. What the hell? Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, here
Fix
we are
the
again.
Problem, coach. You give us all this crap in the preseason about, you know, all people ranking us low and all this stuff, and we're going to prove them wrong. No, you're proving them right. You're proving them right.
Totally agree. Like I said, he was saying all the right things. He was saying that, you know, looking at this and whatever, sportsblog.com, whatever that is, somebody just sent that to me. We're just going to go out there and we're going to prove them wrong. Yeah, you didn't. You know, like 0-3 and you looked bad doing it. It's not even a moral – it's not even 0-3 with three moral victories, you know. And, yeah, like, you know.
That, it's 0-3 with three ass whoopings.
Yeah. Yeah, like because that fourth quarter against Southern Miss – not Southern Miss. Oh, God. Southern Methodist. I'm trying to use their full name. SMU. See, I did this last week. I'm doing it now. I need to get some coffee. SMU, that was awful. Like, they were just tearing us up. Matt Davis breaking off 50-yard runs, making our players look bad doing it. And then, you know, Rice, five straight touchdowns. And then Iowa, parting the seas, you know. They basically got each line and scattered them across the field, each defensive line member. Like, you push him 50 yards that way, you push him 50 yards that way, you push this guy, just do 30 yards over there, because I'm not even running to the left, so that doesn't matter. And they just waltzed down the field. It was awful. 15 of 15, the guy was throwing to wide-ass open players. Makes me mad. I do not want to see that today. And I kind of feel like it's time to get hyped up. Give me some reasons. Give me some reasons why we win this game today. I'll give you some. Carlos Harris is our best player, and he didn't have a great game last game. And I know it's all a function of the quarterback, so I might get him the ball. But he said, you know what? I'm going to get the ball myself, and I'm going to throw me a touchdown pass. And he did. So I feel like more of that's going to happen. And maybe if he has to play defense, he'll go out there and play some defense. Intercept the pass, score a touchdown like that, you know? That's how I feel. That's why we're going to win today. You got any good reasons?
We will win if Jeffrey Wilson controls the game. If the running back, Jeffrey Wilson, Jimerson, Ivory, because I think they all three got to get touches. If we just give them the ball. I mean, they 45 carries between all three of them this game. I think we have a chance at winning the game. Because then and we're kind of controlling the clock and keeping our defense off the field. And also, our defense, they've got to force some turnovers. You know, maybe Jerrion Roberts, he's got to get to the quarterback. He seems like the only guy that can get to the quarterback right now. He's got to get to the quarterback. And somebody on special teams has got to make a damn play. Darvin Kidzie, I know, is explosive. They got to set up a block or something for him to make a play, because we need some explosive plays that we aren't getting on the offense. So if we're going to win, everything has to be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, this turnover margin is ridiculous. We need to stop throwing interceptions. Looking at you, Andy Mac. We need to stop fumbling the ball. Looking at you, Anton Jimerson, Willie Ivory. Fumble Ruskies, even Tego Ree fumbled the ball. And we need to, like you said, we need to make some plays on defense. Jerrion Roberts, when he gets to the quarterback, probably should complete the sack. I mean, he did that last week when you were saying that he's going to get like a couple sacks or something like that.
So two sacks, and yeah, he missed one early. God. I stood up from my chair. I was like, no.
Yeah, I was watching it on my phone on my way to the watching party. And, you know, like, everybody already knew that we got scored on. And I was like, I was walking in like, oh, God. And they're like, what? We already, yeah, that was weird. There's a little delay on my ESPN 3. But, yeah, we got to get more turnovers, man. Like, we were a turnover-making machine in 2013. We don't need to be that. That was, like, you know, one extreme. But we need to get some turnovers. We need to force some sacks. You know, make it easy on the offense. Make it easy on the defense, you know, when they get turnovers. And like you said, special teams go out there. Block some kicks. Block some punts.
I want to get back to Dan McCartney calling his quarterback play solid.
That was awful.
I know that, yeah, that pisses a lot of people off. And I was thinking, I was like, well, maybe he thinks it's solid. So I went back through and looked at all the quarterbacks he's had, you know, the top guys, the guys who played the most, put up, you know, the number one stats on each one of his years as a coach. And basically, he's only had one quarterback go over 3,000 yards passing. He's only had one quarterback.
Was that Seneca Wallace?
Yes. He's only had one quarterback throw for 20 touchdowns in a season. And that was it. Nothing over 20, just 20, right at 20. The average numbers of all the quarterbacks, the top quarterbacks for each year, 55% completions, only 2,000 yards passing, 12 TDs, 11 INTs, and 118 QB rating, right, which is about McNulty. That's like, you know.
So he's like, wow, this is great.
Then it gets even worse here. McNulty this year is on pace to throw for more, you know, more passes than any other quarterback he's ever had, except for Seneca Wallace, who once threw like 443 passes in a year. So that means, you know, for your quarterback to throw that much, you must really trust your quarterback, right? So that means he trusts Andrew McNulty more than Derek Thompson, more than Sage Rosenfeld, and more than Brett Maher. What the hell is he thinking?
I don't know. I'm looking back because he got that big-ass ring that he likes to talk about, right, at Florida. And he was there from 2008.
He was a defensive line coach.
Yeah. So, like, they had some solid quarterback play, right? Well, it was mostly Tebow running into the line, but, I mean, they had
some. Those aren't guys he recruited.
Yeah.
Those aren't guys he was coaching. That wasn't his team. Yeah, he's along for the joyride.
Yeah, the reason I ask is because, like, surely he saw on the field, like, or in the meetings, right? They're like, great quarterback play from our guy Tebow today, you know? Did everybody see that? And he's like, not so great. Ain't no Seneca Wallace, I'll tell you that much, you know? I don't know. You know, it's like, surely he saw some good quarterback play somewhere along his time as coach. Maybe he just has to look across the field and see them going 15-15. Does he think that's good quarterback play? Perhaps.
No, apparently not. He's stuck back in the 70s when this would be good quarterback play.
Yeah, 50% completions was amazing in 1971.
And that's where we're at. So that was a nice McNugget for y'all this morning too.
McNuggets. All right, sorry, I'm kind of half eating up a Pop-Tart. We are professionals here, Mean Green Nation Podcast. He's McNulty, I mean, throwing, completing 46% of his passes. That is, I remember reading, you know, speaking about completion percentage a couple of years ago. This was like when Louisville was good, before Teddy Bridgewater, yeah, when they had Petrino there the first time. And they were talking about completion percentages, right? And the quarterback was, I forget his name, he was pretty good then. I think it was Brom.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was like, yeah, like I need to be, I'm at 64%. I really need to be up at 65, 66%. You know, like those are good. And the article kind of mentioned that. It was like, yeah, it's crazy that now those numbers, like the quarterback position needs to be so efficient that the guy that won the Heisman in like 1970 did it on like 56% completions. You know, and like he had like 12 touchdowns and 11 interceptions or something ridiculous. Like your interception to touchdown ratio needs to be like 2-1, probably 3-1. and you know, like how the position has changed. And then I look over here and I'm like, wow, we're 46%, you know, like that's ridiculous. Like that would only be acceptable if we were Georgia Tech and our only passes were, you know, 30-yard bombs down the field where we're just trying to do play action stuff. That's the only time it should be acceptable. These, at least, at the very least, like Giovanni Vita, everybody gave him crap for only throwing 5 yards down the field or whatever, and all of Todd Dodge's guys, but they completed somewhere north of 60% passing. And sure, that's right here, that's right there, but that's something. Get the ball in your playmaker's hands, you know. It's like the equivalent of fumbling the snap all the time. I mean, you know, it's like it might as well be that because nothing else is happening. Like nothing is coming out of these plays. Sorry, I'm ranting again. So our quarterback play needs to be better. If our practices are preventing our better players from getting on the field, then maybe we should change our practices. If the quarterbacks don't know the playbook, maybe the playbook's too big. Do we need all these plays? Do we need all of these plays when we're the worst offense in the nation?
I'm going to call bullshit on the playbook being hard. That's not that hard. It can't be that hard because what we see out there on Saturday and what we see tonight, it doesn't blow your mind. It's not – there's no way you can get 400 plays in our playbook or whatever the hell we're running. I mean, it's like a 5-yard hitch route to Chris Loving and a 5-yard hitch route to Marcus Smith, and let's run a fly and then let's run some smash routes and some, you know, flags and posts. But not, we haven't even run a post. We haven't even thrown it deep over the middle yet. So, actually, you know what? We did, and it got intercepted. So, yeah, so no, we there's haven't no run way. That play anymore. I mean, if you look at McNulty, he doesn't really read the defense. And the times that he does read the defense, he's either getting sacked or he's missing the throw or he's throwing it to the wrong guy. And when he predetermines where he's going to go before the snap, is he's sometimes successful and then other times he throws an interception like the pick six against Iowa last week. All week, you know, all game long, that route had been open for him, the little Chris Loving, the little underneath hitch route. So he was like, okay, you know, it's going to be open again, and that's where he throws it without looking that the linebacker had magically slid over there and was waiting because he had seen it all game long. So again, our playbook, It cannot be that hard. You run it to the middle, you know, three times, and then we throw a few little hitch routes here and there. So don't give me this bullshit about some tough playbook.
I mean, here's the other thing about playbook. No playbook, no, like, you look at all the prolific offenses, right, ever, right? Say, Oregon, and, you know, past couple of years. It kind of sucked this year. But when Chip Kelly was there, they're like, well, he's revolutionizing everything. They're amazing. Well, he famously kept his playbook super simple. Like, he's doing that now in, like, the NFL, and everybody's giving shit for it. If people figured out the schemes, he's like, well, these have always been pretty basic schemes. Like, we run, like, inside zone, outside zone, the little read, you know, off of that, and we keep things simple. Why do you keep it simple? Because you out-execute it. Like, you don't need to trick everybody every play. You execute the play, a simple play. You shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't have a problem. I think there's a study came out this week. I forget. I'll maybe link to it if I can find it. That said, even if you tell the other defense that the defense knows the play that's coming, they don't necessarily stop it anymore. And, you know, like it always reminds me of, like, basketball, right? It, you know they're going to run a pick and roll, you know? But if they execute the pick and roll the way the way that it should be run, right? And if you just have practiced at it, it's devastating. It's nigh unstoppable, right? Because there's, like, options off and whatever. I don't want to get too deep into it. But my point is that you don't need to trick everybody every play, you know? You should be able to execute a simple playbook, and other teams have done it to great success, you know? Great success. Oregon, I mean, a lot of these option offenses are not very complicated. They're complex in that you have to make a lot of reads within the play right there. But that's a different story. They're pretty simple, you know. Like you said, knowing where to throw the ball. That if we're running stick routes, know that you shouldn't throw to this guy without thinking, because they're probably sitting on that now. You know, the play is set up to have options, so you have a couple guys. If it's not there, sure, there's a guy going deep behind it. That's what a smash route is for. You read the cornerback. I don't know. Stuff like this. My point is, and I think complements your point, that you don't need a complicated playbook. Even if, we don't have a complicated playbook, one, and it shouldn't have to be. We should be able to execute these things and get some yards and get some points.
Exactly. Yeah, all the great offenses today, their playbooks, they're not big. They're, you know, their sheet is like, you know, a little, you know, sticky pad that the guy has on the sideline. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's basically the same five or six plays run in a couple of different formations. You know, that's it. You know, I mean, look at Paul Johnson at Georgia Tech. The man literally has no play call sheet in front of him, and he knows what the hell he's doing.
Yeah. Well, cause just like options left, right? He'll change the blocking schemes in the middle.
Yeah, but still, that's pretty, you know, that's pretty good. Don't hate on my man, Paul Johnson.
No, I like him. I think it's great. Yeah. As I'm saying, you really know what you're doing. It's evident. And when you really don't know what you're doing, then you go out there and say, no, 46% is great. It's solid quarterback play.
Clearly, we have no idea what the hell we're doing. So that means it's time that we should pick. You want to pick just this game, or do you want to pick any of the other games? Because, I mean, there's some decent Conference USA games out there.
Let's pick all the games. I don't have them in front of me, so you're going to have to read them out.
I got them in front of me. We saw Florida International. They're playing UMass. Any chance UMass pulls the upset against FIU?
No, FIU is going to roll in that one. What's the line in that game?
UMass minus three.
UMass minus what?
UMass is favored? What? That's very interesting.
Yeah, they're not favored by me. I'm going to go ahead and say that FIU rolls by 10, at least.
I'm going to say FIU wins by – that's not really rolling over an FCS team.
No, it's not. I'm saying at least 10. It just got me concerned now that UMass is their 3-point favorites. You can't go against Vegas, man.
Yeah, you know, but I like Magoo for FIU. I thought they played well against Louisiana Tech last week.
Yeah.
So Magoo and his boys and FIU, they win by 14.
Okay.
Next one, Old Dominion, Marshall. At Marshall.
Old Dominion Marshall's looks awful. 18. Yeah, Marshall's going to win that one. I think they'll cover and spread.
Yeah, I'll take Marshall, too. Western Kentucky Rice, at Rice. That's a pretty big game.
What is that one?
Western Kentucky minus 7, so 7-point favorites.
It's at Rice? That's interesting. They must like. Yeah, Rice got shellacked by Baylor last week. Western Kentucky, I forgot what they did, but I think Western Kentucky is still a class of the conference. They're going to win that one. They're going to win it by more than 7.
Yeah, I'm going to say Western Kentucky blows the doors off of Rice and wins by 21.
What? And then all 10 fans at Rice Stadium will be disappointed.
Yeah. Vanderbilt at Middle Tennessee.
Vandy at Middle Tennessee. The SEC's worst against, I wouldn't call them the better. Better? Upper class Conference USA.
Yeah, Middle Tennessee's been playing well. Coach's son's been playing real well at quarterback.
It opened at 4.5, and now it's 2.5 in Middle Tennessee's favor. I'm going to say Middle Tennessee's going to win. They're going to win at home. They're going to win by 3.
Yeah, I'm going to take Middle Tennessee by 7.
What? Okay.
Louisiana Lafayette at Louisiana Tech. Louisiana Tech 16.5.
Is there bad blood? Is there any bad blood between these two teams? Like, what happens in Louisiana? I feel like Louisiana is just like a big, unknown that nobody ever checks on, except when they got weird Louisiana type things coming out. Like, well, one man and his pet gator. You're like, what the hell?
It's its own nation, pretty much.
I think Tech, they're going to win that one by 20.
I'll take Louisiana Tech by 14.
Ooh, by 14.
And then you got Texas San Antonio, UTSA, going out to El Paso and taking on the Miners.
I've been seeing, I follow like SB Nation Miner Rush on Twitter, and a couple UTSA people, like bloggers and things. And there's like a whole thing now. Like they've been kind of going back and forth about like whose fan base is tougher or something like that. I thought that whole conversation was stupid, but that's going on right now. They're like, you know, I think somebody wrote on SB Nation Minor Rush, like our fan base is better because let's face it, talking smack to your bloggers is uncool. I didn't understand the paragraph, but there's like a whole thing going on. So that should be interesting, if only just to read the poorly worded thoughts on that one. It opened like really quickly in UTEP's favor at 7.5, and now it's UTSA's favorite 3, and it's at UTEP. It's crazy. UTEP is terrible, so I think UTSA is going to get their win in this game.
I'm going to take UTEP because it's a home game. And what? I think they'll be able to be a little bit more physical than UTSA. So I'm going to take UTEP. Are there any national games you're interested, like Georgia, Alabama? Kind of a big one.
So I briefly played a little NCAA, picked up the season. Since I can't watch it in real life, I was like, well, let me just, you know, live out the North Texas fantasies on NCAA 14. By the way, North Texas won the Fiesta Bowl in that one. But Georgia did play Alabama in the SEC championship game, which I thought was interesting. And Georgia won 42-35. So that's the scoreline I'm going to pick today.
I think that the score will be closer to the 20s. I think between the two teams, they might hit 45 or 35 points. 55 degrees today for their kickoff. Rain over there. So, yeah.
42-35, Georgia is going to win. Can I call it? Write it down right now.
I like Lambert at quarterback for them. So, I'm going to take – I like Georgia. I think Alabama's got some issues. Lane Kiffin is apparently he's banging Saban's daughter. So,
what?
So yeah, I think Georgia. And you got Notre Dame and Clemson. I thought this was kind of interesting. They had Jim Cantore on game day earlier, and he was talking about like 4 inches of rain, 4 to 8 inches of rain, like maybe in the second half, just in the second half of that game. So that game might be fun to watch. You watch all the players like slip and slide down the hill when they run into the stadium. That'd be kind of funny. So who you got in that game? I'm going to take Clemson because they're at home, and I think Notre Dame, the freshman quarterback, and I don't think they'll be able to run the ball.
Yeah, I see Clemson. Clemson's going to win that one. I don't know. Like, Clemson never interests me. They have cool uniforms. I always like the orange and the purple. They remind me of, like, the Crush, the wrestler guy. And I don't like Notre Dame. And so, yeah, Clemson's going to win that one.
All right. That's great. Now let's get to our game of the week. North Texas at Southern Miss. Start with your bold predictions.
All right, so here's a bold prediction. Here's a bold ass prediction that we're going to be in this game. It's going to be the fourth quarter. We're going to be down 6 points. There's about 3 minutes left. We're going to be at our 8-yard line. We're going to give the ball to Andrew McNulty, and he's going to lead us down the field with a series of death passes, amazing escapes, and clutch leadership. And we're going to win this game on a pass to the corner to Marcus Smith on a fade route, just like I drew it up. And we'll win. And Dan McCartney will say that, you know, he always knew this team had it in him. And that they're finally gelling. And everybody will say that, you know, nobody believed in us, so we just believed in ourselves. You know, we rallied around each other, believed in our brothers, because, you know, we're North Texas. Till we die, you know, it doesn't matter what anybody else says, et cetera, et cetera. And it'll be great. That's what's going to happen. Today, that's what's going to happen.
So basically, next week, Monday, at his press conference, he's going to walk in and say, F you, F you, F you, F you, and then look at the North Texas Daily Reporter and say, you're cool. And, you know, that's how it's going to go, right?
Yes.
All right. My bold prediction, didn't say bold prediction. predictions have to be good for North Texas. They can be bad. And so I'm going to go with Nick Mullen.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm just giving you theme music.
Okay. Thank you. Nick Mullins for Southern Miss is going to throw for 550 yards in this game.
Oh, my God.
That is my bold prediction. And I'll give you one good one for North Texas.
If that happens, I'm going to drive up to North Texas. I'm going to kick you in the throat. That's what's going to happen. Just for even saying those words.
And one good one, Jeffrey Wilson. He'll run for at least a $150. And I'll throw in a third one. Willie Ivory will have an 80-yard touchdown run.
What? That is super bold. Just like oddly specific. 80 yards. We could probably run against this team. Where's Carlos Harris on his Carlos Harris watch? I didn't get to do it.
I don't know. It's too late for that. Now give me your final prediction for the game. Who wins? What's the score? You already said North Texas is going to win based on some miracle that McNuggets shoots out his ass.
Yeah, we're going to win 30-29 on a fade route to the corner. It's going to be great. You should just write that down.
I'm going to say Southern Miss wins 49-25.
I cannot watch another 20-point, 30-point blowout. Yeah, by the way, Carlos Harris is at 1955 in yardage. He is behind John Love, who's at 21-24. He could probably pass him soon. And receptions, he's at 155. Again, he's like 32 behind Johnny Quinn, the great Johnny Quinn. All right.
It's amazing to think that Carlos Harris, if he breaks the record and all that, would have done it with Andrew McNulty as his quarterback basically for the last 2 years.
Basically.
I feel like we just ended this podcast on a very sad, somber note.
Yeah, I don't know what you did there. I was about to say, thanks everybody for listening. It's been great talking to you today. Go Mean Green. Again, if you have any hot sports opinions that you want to get off your chest after the game, please call us. That number is, what the hell is that number? I should have that at the ready. It's one that I tweeted out before, so you probably should have it already. But where is that? There it is. 210-701-0763. You can call that. It's a voicemail line. It's a Google Voice number. You can call it and just leave your number. Or, I mean, leave your message, and then we'll play it if it's awesome. Don't personally attack anybody. You can vent it out, and we'll talk about this tomorrow morning, sometime around the same time. We'll talk about it. We'll react to it. I'll blame Greg for predicting that they're going to throw for 550 yards against us.
F you.
When you know that Andy Mack is going to lead us to victory in the waning seconds.
All right. Look forward to seeing it happen.
Yeah.
Throw some enthusiasm.
You say it, and then it becomes true, right? That's how these things work, man. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Go Mean Green.